ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. So coming up in the Prashanthi Nilayam calendar in just a couple of days from today is the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In this episode, in this series of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we have been having Learning with Love in Vrindavan, the series to share the story and the glory of the Vrindavan campus. The college started in 1969, but Swami entered this arena that is called Vrindavanam and called it Vrindavanam in 1964. And after the college began in 69, Bhagwan's stay in Vrindavan increased. Almost 9 months in a year he used to spend in the Vrindavan ashram. That is where the initial establishment of the Sri Satya Sai system of integral education happened. And over 25 episodes of Learning with Love in Vrindavan, we've shared with you the story of how Bhagwan came into Vrindavan, how Bhagwan established the college, how Bhagwan started every little thing, be it the self-reliance activities, be it the prayer sessions, be it the moral class sessions, be it the seva activities, be it boys getting involved in cultural programs, dramas, every aspect of the unfoldment of the personality of the students was so beautifully woven into the system of integral education by Bhagwan in Vrindavan. That was when he was setting the stage for the unfurling of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, which came into being in 1981 when the administrative block was inaugurated by Swami. So we continue the series. In fact, we are towards the fag end of this series because today is Thursday, and this weekend on June 8th and 9th, you are going to have the Golden Jubilee celebration. The Vice President of India, Mr. Venkaya Naidu, is going to be the chief guest of this landmark moment. The main function is on the morning of 9th, the Sunday, June 9th, 2019. That will be sort of the culmination of year-long activities that have been going on in the Vrindavan campus. In the radio, we've been having this series for over 25 weeks. In Radio Sai Telugu YouTube channel, you will find over 50 videos, which are experiences of so many students who have passed out of the portals of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And just this morning on Radio Sai YouTube channel, on our main YouTube channel, we have released a video to share with you the story of Trai Vrindavan, how the Trai Vrindavan, which is the heart of Vrindavan, the abode of Bhagwan in the Bengaluru ashram, how that came into being. It's a lovely video, about 20-23 minutes. If you have not watched it, don't miss it. It's a unforgettable, indelible and moving saga of Bhagwan's life story. Trai, the lotus abode of Sai. Watch this video on our YouTube channel. So we continue today to share with you some more beautiful reminiscences. The Radio Sai team had the chance to be in Vrindavan to do this story on Trai, and during this period, we also had the chance to record lovely conversation with many senior teachers of the Vrindavan campus. And today I'm going to share with you three such conversations and through that give you a glimpse of how Vrindavan has been, because any number of instances are never enough to tell the story of Vrindavan, because it is really 50 years and every student in his heart has so many moving and so many stirring moments with Bhagwan. So let's begin with Mr. Nandagopal. Nandagopal sir has served this campus right from the 70s and continues to be there in the campus, guiding students, mentoring students. He's a friend to the students and someone who never says no for anything. Sterling exemplars of Bhagwan's message are these teachers. So I'll begin with Nandagopal sir and then I have two more to share with you. In this episode, Nandagopal sir talks about the ambience of Vrindavan. It's not just the student, there are so many other beautiful things that happen in Vrindavan, and he gives us a glimpse of that.
Sairam, we are in this serene and green environment of Vrindavan Ashram. The Vrindavan campus celebrates 50 years in June 2019. And if you look at this environment, the breeze here, the trees here, the flowers here, the beautiful bowers of freshness and beauty, the most beautiful thing about this environment is that which is unmatched, unparalleled, is every little facet of the creation that you see here, every little facet of Mother Nature that you see here has been touched by Bhagwan physically. That is the glory of the Vrindavan Ashram. And we have Nandagopal sir here, who for the last 30-40 years been with Swami, and he has seen this exchange of love and grace and closeness between Mother Nature and Bhagwan. So sir, if you can give us glimpses of those sylvan beautiful days of Bhagwan and the beautiful moments of Swami with the trees, Swami with the animals, Swami with the birds, Swami with the beautiful, lovely Vrindavan environment.
Definitely, Prasi, now that you mentioned, Swami would always be very akin to nature being around. You know, landscape will always be there around his buildings, whether it is his mandir, whether it is his college, anywhere. In fact, Ooty and Kodaikanal trips came up because of this, that Swami would want them to take them to nature.
The boys to nature,
to
yes.
To see nature, to see the beauty, see the greenery. If you see more green, I believe, Swami says it's very healthy.
Wow.
In such a situation, being in Vrindavan, that were seeing the greenery around, whenever he would come for darshan, I had the unique opportunity to take care of the audiovisual system here.
Yes.
And the control room was very near to his path of darshan, which would go around.
Yes.
Whenever he would come out of Vrindavan to go onto the hall, in the path would be the beautiful tulsi plant,
yes,
which always, you know, his eyes fell on that,
yes,
and people would gravitate and stand around it and around the speaker, which would be, you know, amplifying the music, wafting when he was gliding down for darshan. One such occasion, you know, somebody in seeing that glint in Swami's eye, that he would like these tulsi plants and some flowers, some small leaf flowers which could lot of scent, we would try and offer to him. So one day, one of the boys offered a small tulsi leaf which had got three leaves in it. That was in the evening when Swami was coming back from darshan. And Swami just quietly took it. And you know, so he was playing with it, and then he walked inside the
That stem with three leaves.
That stem had three leaves in it. Almost akin to bilwa leaf, you can say. But it was tulsi leaves. So he would just, and by the time already boys had assembled in the veranda for bhajans, and Swami slowly glided his way towards the jhula, sat there, and in fact, even before sitting, he was showing it like, see, like this. Everything is in his hands. And then, you know, he just closed his fist and blew it. And when he opened, those three tulsi leaves were encased with gold.
Gold?
It was in the shape of the leaf. You could see the stem, green stem of the leaf.
So the green leaves were covered with gold.
Yes, like encased, top and bottom. And the leaf is in the center. All the three different, so that stem were connected.
Yeah, still connected.
Those three independent leaves had independent covering of gold. And then the stem was green. That was not covered. It was kept. So Swami showing us, and then he broke all the three.
Each
leaf with the stem, he broke it. Means with the gold casing.
Yes.
He broke it and then it fell down. So Swami, gold. And everyone was fascinated. Swami is standing there next to him only. He's saying everything in his hands. So he gave one again. Actually, who will Swami give? Who will Swami give? So thrilling, one should have it or chase created. So then he took it back and then he collected all the three. Then again, blew it like this. Then out came again back those three leaves. Then so Swami put it in his hand and swallowed it.
Swami, oh my God.
It was so lovely.
Wow.
So beautiful. And one is the nature. Wow. One is the creator of nature.
Absolutely. I mean, you see that beautiful love exchange.
Everything in his hands.
Hands.
To let it be in its own natural beauty.
Wow. Amazing.
It was so wonderful to see. And the joy in which he did the entire act of
act. I think that was the speciality of Vrindavan. Closeness that you experience.
This is not a particular incident. It means not individually collected incident. But collectively he would give such a beautiful experience to everyone.
Yes.
Each one enjoyed its own way.
What it makes me think is everyone comes to Swami very raw, green. He converts them into gold.
Gold. Very true. Very true.
He converts all of us into bangaru.
And we would say bangaru.
Bangaru.
So you would truly say that.
Every experience of Vrindavan is like bangaru.
Just adjacent to the tulsi plant.
Yes.
Which I mentioned earlier. Is the ambience of the garden.
Yeah.
The lawns, the cages which were there. And the beautiful coconut tree now which you are seeing so tall.
Yes.
In fact, when I say coconut tree, I should mention, just as a joint, as a fresher in 1977 to Vrindavan, Professor Narendra had the list to be ticked of who's joining the college. And Swami said, take him.
Swami picks.
Yes, yes. There was a list of all the candidates for joining and so he would read out the name. And Swami said, yes, okay. That was just adjacent to the gate. We were all seated there. And few got rejected also, Swami said, they had to go back home. So that's how he got entered. Though the formal interview was there, but actual selection was by Bhagavan.
Swami, yes.
So Swami just said, yes, take them. And then next day Swami left to Puduvarthi. So we were wondering what to do. Now some of them come from local Madras, Chennai, the Madras that time, Bangalore, some from various other places. So they couldn't go. He said, local people, if you want, you can go back home. Another 15 days is there for the college to start. Or if you want, you can stay on. Now, having come to Vrindavan, we didn't want to go back. So, we will stay. Whether Swami or not, Vrindavan has its own charm and beauty. So, every place here has got a beautiful episode connected with it.
Yeah.
And then, so how to engage ourselves now? Now, see, young minds, energetic people. Dr. Lakshmanan was there, the then assistant warden for Mr. Sudarshan, who was the warden. So, he said, let's find some work for these people. And conveniently, Mr. Kote, our Lakshmanan Kote's father, he was from Chokkadi. He had brought a lot of coconut saplings and given to Swami. They had a lot of farm there, so they have brought to Swami.
Just as an offering?
Just as an offering he gave. And Swami said, petani. Ekran pet coach. So Dr. Lakshmanan had an idea. This was barren at that time. So he said, let us plant coconut. The saplings, let us plant. So what you see now as a jajadik tree was then planted. We were given the opportunity to plant it. And so we dig up the hole and pati and others and put the plants inside. And like Dr. Lakshman had arranged for manure and rock salt also to put. So we put rock salt around it and then we closed it. And we were happy doing it and then we
did some seva.
Did some seva and had our evening bhajan bhojan. And next morning, Lakshman said, come, Swami has sent a letter. And what letter? I mean, that was, he would write to the students and warden conveying his blessing. So one such letter, the first of its kind, when I had joined, it came in the morning. And he said, convey my blessings to all the boys and teachers. And I saw you all putting salt to the coconut trees.
Swami has written that.
I saw. What do you mean I saw? Yesterday evening only you put. Where can you see? So that was a real glimpse of, that whole body get thrilled, goosebumps. And he's saying, I saw you all putting salt to the cocoa trees. They are very, very good for their growth.
Wow.
Really, it was wow. Mm. And that time, there were no mobiles. Mm. If you book a trunk call, after 3 days, you'll get your call. If you book a lightning call, probably you may get it in 24 hours, you know, your call. So there was no chance of getting conveyed. I mean, this conveyed.
We are talking about 70s.
Yes, we are talking about 77 precisely. 77, that's when I joined.
No internet, no WhatsApp.
No internet, no WhatsApp, no instant this thing that, you know, tracking minute by minute, promised no moments. And it was so thrilling to.
No internet, but there was Sci Connect all the time.
So beautiful. Yes. And he said, it's so good for the growth. And that was the first glimpse of his omniscience which we had. The moment.
I mean, one pure thought will do something for Swami.
Ji.
And Swami is telling, I'm there, I'm watching.
Yes. And in the same ambience, you know, this has got such beautiful, lovely footprints of Swami everywhere around, because there used to be the birds, the deers, the rabbits, and parrot. You can see the famous parrot when Swami is holding it.
Rabbits. So they all were here. Wow.
In fact, all the deers were here when they, you know, started growing more and more. Then Swami got them shifted to the ambience which is just behind primary school, under the shade of the ad block.
Yes.
So that whole area is now populated with lots of deers.
So this was the initial.
This was the initial growing stage, baby steps which they had taken. In fact, you can say they did it, their UG here. They went to
post-graduation there. They did the undergraduation here.
But that was beautiful. And Swami, the moment Swami would come into the cage, it was like plenty of chances for boys. What would happen is, see, it's a normal earth. It's not that paved stone and, you know, walk away like that. So it would be normal earth and, you know, some sort of a lawn or greenery which was there. Not even lawn was on there. Some earth.
Mud and sand.
So small pebble stones would be there and people would detach themselves. You know, suddenly you see people are running here and say, what's happening? Five fellows would have gone inside the bungalow. That was the old bungalow setting. They would go inside and say, that is the only time they had the royal entry to go upstairs into the kitchen. Why? To get a plate full of apples, then get a knife, get a jug, get water in it, get towel. And one fellow will get slippers. No palika. The moment Swami is about to step into the cage, they will keep the slippers down and Swami will put them inside. So he would not leave it because it can slip now. So he will catch the slippers till Swami puts his feet inside.
Wow, so you have
the chance. You get a namaskar also there. Then you get up and then somebody will cut the apple. And then that, so plate will somebody catch it, somebody will cut apple and somebody give it in Swami's hand. So Swami will take it. Come, dear. He'll call.
Dear, come.
So they would invariably come near and slowly start, you know, one by one, they'll gravitate towards him. Start taking the pieces they cut. Nearly Swami also have a report, you know. We are all standing in front of, so fence is to be covered. So one gate will be there, fence gate. And we will all be behind that. Only photographs are allowed inside. So it says, see, these deers, though, when I call them, they come off. These deers don't even come.
So I'm referring to the boy.
So I'm referring to the boys.
So deer are so dear to Swami.
So he would give them. And then once he finishes giving the feed, then his boy's hands will become moist. No? So one fellow will be with the jug. So he'll wash his hands. So he'll look at him like that. So I got one look like that, through and through. You know, full tapestry of my life or something already decided by him. And then one fellow will have the towel.
So even as the deer got little chance, so many boys got chance.
So many boys. So beautiful for us to look at Swami.
Yeah.
See, and the deer connecting with
thanks to the deer, you became dear to Swami.
Really. And not only that, our being dear. The deer itself was dear to Swami. What happened in one afternoon, a deer started crying. And we would also hear from the horse. And when it really cries out, it is like heart-rending cry.
It would be
like, you know, it's wrenching the heart.
Oh my God.
So it was crying and we heard the cry.
Pain.
We heard the cry. But we didn't know. Afterwards it became silent. After some time it tapered away. And evening when the old bungalow ambience was there, 3 ambience was there, it was. And Swami said, you know what happened this afternoon? So the deer was calling. It was calling me. So I came down. So in fact, it is unheard of when Swami retires into the room. He doesn't come out actually till the evening. So in the afternoon around 12 o'clock or something like that, he came down. Opened the door, 3 doors were open, and he came near the cage, and that one old deer, very elderly deer, came towards Swami. And then Swami immediately got some fruits and made them hurriedly bring fruit, fed it. It also actually put its head to Swami's padam.
Wow.
And went back, and Swami also went back. By afternoon, it reached his lotus feet.
Amazing.
This was Swami was telling, see, it was so calling so dearly that I had to rush to it.
Wow.
I had to rush to it.
It almost reminds me of Gajendra Moksha, you know, Gajendra was calling and, you know, the Lord blessed it in the final moments. It's like that.
So we had heard the cries, but we had not known what Swami had really done. Mm. Evening, Swami himself narrated saying that it reached him. By afternoon, sometime it had passed
away. Amazing. The whole ambience reverberates. That's why it pulsates with that touch of Bhagwan. It pulsates with those immortal moments. The magic of his touch you can actually feel in every little speck of Vrindavan. And you have been so fortunate that you have lived that, seen that.
The chance which you are given to us, we are so blessed. We thank Swami. I mean, thanking is not a word. Thank you, every chapter, you are mine.
Swami would say, yes.
So the moment you feel that we are His,
yes.
Then, you know, everything is so beautiful.
Yes.
It is chance which you are given, yes. To be here with Him. The only craving which we had was to be with Him.
Yes.
Wherever you are done with Him, you would come from here, the whole thing that it.
Yes.
The moment he goes out of the mandir, yes. Going for darshan, we know which darshan he'll take.
Yes.
He might take towards Kalyan Mountain. He might take from there, he might go into the hostel.
Run there.
If he goes to the side of the hostel, we will run from the front door.
Yeah.
We will reach inside. By the time he comes in the hostel, we'll all be there.
Yes, yes.
Then when he comes out, again we'll come round and come be here before he comes. He might forget that. Why you are running like this? Then, you know, some guests also take, what is it they are running like this? And so was he, in fact, they would get pushed many a time.
Yes, yes.
And Swami also would have got pushed, but he would not mind in that
yes,
sense.
Yes.
Hey, he'll say, but when he reaches, Swami says, what is this? Tell them no. And so Swami, they are running out like this. People outside are running for film stars and movies and these things.
Yes.
They are running for me.
They are running for God.
Yes. They are running for me.
Wow.
For God.
Wow. I think that darshan always, that is Vrindavan.
We are so grateful to Swami to having given the thought to be here.
So that was Mr. Nandagopal from the Vrindavan campus, filling us with those beautiful moments that the Vrindavan ashram is filled with. If ever you have the chance to go inside the campus, go to Trai Vrindavan. You can now find in front of Trai Vrindavan those tall coconut trees. They are as old as Nandagopal sir now, because when sir joined the campus, that's when those trees were planted, and sir has been there now perhaps for nearly close to 40 years. They are as old as sir's history in Vrindavan. And every teacher like that, every student has a lovely moment. In fact, as sir was narrating the Tulsi incident, I was reminded of another incident with the Tulsi that happened on March 5th, 1999. So there were a few students who were waiting outside Trai Vrindavan, waiting for Bhagwan to emerge. There were devotees who were in the Sai Ramesh Hall waiting for bhajans. And the doors of the mandir opened, Bhagwan came out, he got down the steps in his inimitable, gentle majesty, and he started walking towards the door which opens to the stage of the Sai Ramesh Hall. And while passing by the Tulsi pedestal, you have the Tulsi plant there right at the entrance of the Trai Vrindavan gate, as Nandagopal sir was narrating. So Swami picked a leaf from that plant. As he moved on, there was a student who was standing nearby. Swami went to that student and dropped something into the outstretched palm of that student. The warden who was watching all this thought that probably Swami has placed that Tulsi leaf, because Swami just picked a leaf from that plant. But what Swami did, he placed something in that boy's hand, and Swami covered the boy's hand, his outstretched palm, with his own palm. And Swami said, hey, don't show it to anyone. So Swami kept something there, said, don't show it to anyone. But the warden was very curious, so he went there and he prayed, Swami, can I see it, please Swami? Kindly allow me to see it. So Swami lifted his palm, which was over the boy's palm a little, and then he closed it again. And the warden could see that it was a gold coin. That Tulsi had become a gold coin. And Swami then told the boy, "Hey boy, don't show it to others. That gold coin, it has your date of birth on it. That gold coin has your date of birth on it. Don't show it to anyone," Swami said. And Swami moved to the Sairameshwar to give darshan to the devotees. So the boy put the gold coin in the folds of his handkerchief and he kept it very carefully in his shirt pocket. Swami went outside for bhajans, and after Arati, Bhagwan returned back to Trayi compound and he was walking towards the mandir. And this boy who was standing there, Swami asked him, "Hey, show the gold, show that coin that I gave you." So the boy, who had very carefully kept it covered in his handkerchief in his pocket, he took it out, and when he was about to give it to Swami, to his utter amazement, he saw that it was no more gold, it had become tulsi leaf again. He was utterly baffled, he was dismayed. I mean, Swami had given him a gold, that's what he had covered, wrapped it nicely in the kerchief and he kept it, but now that had become gold, which has become gold, now it had become tulsi leaf again. And Swami just mischievously looked at him and said, "It's okay, okay, eat it, eat that leaf." So the boy ate it, but of course he was disappointed, because just few minutes ago Swami had taken leaf and converted into gold and given it to the boy, and now Swami is saying, "Eat it, it has become the usual green leaf again." So the warden asked, "What happened?" And the boy said, "This is what has happened." And as Swami was walking forward, Swami suddenly stopped and he looked at the boy, and the boy, you could see that he was so crestfallen. Swami said, "Ayo papam." Swami said, "Oh, so sorry," and all that. And then immediately Swami waved his hand again and there was the gold coin again. Now on Bhagwan's palm, and Swami gave it to the boy and ensured that his face lit up with joy. That is how Bhagwan used to play with the boys in Trayi Vrindavan. In fact, a little later, Swami called that boy again, took that coin from the boy's hand, took it into his own hand. He blew on that 4 times. Foo, foo, like Swami blew on that gold 4 times, and that gold became 4 times bigger. That is how Swami is instilling the gold boon of faith into the lives of students. Through these little acts, he was filling them with faith, filling them with joy, filling them with the bliss of physical proximity, filling them with sublimity. That is how it was to live with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is very special for some of these moments which are unique to living with Swami in Vrindavan. In fact, in 1987, Swami was in Vrindavan again during the month of March. It was the time of the end semester examinations. And Swami used to spend valuable time with the students every evening during the Trayi sessions. And those sessions used to be absolutely incomparable, because you never know what is going to happen every day. Some day someone will ask someone to speak at that day. Suddenly someone will ask someone to sing. Anybody could offer anything to Bhagwan, any talent. You never know how it is going to be every day. Someday he might just create something out of the world. So one day, when Bhagwan had just come to Vrindavan, to the boys' shock, the boys were asked to go back to the hostel. So all the boys were absolutely downcast. And there was an announcement that the principal would address all the students immediately in the hostel dining hall. And all the boys came to the hostel. The principal took the mic and he severely reprimanded all the boys and said, "You're not fit to be Sai students. You're not following discipline. You have no value for what Bhagwan is doing to you. You don't know the immensity of the proximity that Bhagwan is giving you every moment. You are taking it lightly." And he said, apparently somebody had written to Swami that, "Swami, we have no time to study for our examination, so it will be difficult for us to attend 3 sessions. Apparently someone has written. So he said all these things and he said Swami is very upset. And Swami says that boys need not come for 3 sessions. All of you just go and just keep studying for your examinations. And the boy said, no sir, we have never done anything. How can we ever do like this? Every moment that we have to spend with Swami is so precious for us. How can this could not have happened, sir. Please, we have to pray to Swami. We have to convey this to Swami. So all the boys started crying and they were in tears. They were really literally praying to Swami to come back to them. And even as this was going on, suddenly there was a call from Trai Vrindavan and the boys rushed to Trai and they pleaded with Swami to forgive. Swami said, Swami, please Swami, we want to spend time with you Swami, we are here only for you. They were continuously praying and pleading, but Swami was unrelenting. Swami said, no, go back to the hostel and study. To know Swami, what is most important for us is the time we are spending with you Swami, we don't want anything else. They kept on praying to Swami, but finally, Swami relented and Swami's heart melted and Swami then smiled. Suddenly, he burst forth with a smile and there was Dr. Shivakumar, who was still teaching in the Vrindavan campus. He was standing in the front and Swami just looked at him and Swami said, what is the date today? What is the date today? And so this boy said, Swami, today is April 1st. And then Swami burst out laughing and said, see, April Fool, April Fool. So this is how Swami was ensuring that everyone in Vrindavan all the time is cheerful. ABC of life is always be charming, always be cheerful. This is how Bhagwan was with the students in Vrindavan. There's no comparison to what it is to be with Swami, and especially in the Vrindavan ashram, being with Swami during the 3 sessions. Those are unforgettable moments for every student. Let me give you a glimpse of how 3 sessions used to be from another teacher, Mr. Sundareshan. Sundareshan sir has again served Swami right from the 70s. He came to Swami way back in 74, 75 and even now continues to serve the college mentor, generations of students. Let's listen to one of his unforgettable moments of being with Bhagwan during a 3 session.
The 3 sessions were an heavenly experience. Swami is to sit in the jula and students is to sit on the here and in the round hall. Some of the teachers used to sit near the door. I vividly recollect what happened on 22nd September 1993. Swami called the principal of Vrindavan College, Dr. Kalan Swami, and asked him to sing a Tegaraja Kirtan. After he finished singing, Swami said, you forgot 2 lines. And I was looking at Swami and suddenly Swami called my name. Swami picked a mandolin from one of the students who was sitting near. I said, Sundareshan, come on. It was a pleasant shock and a great blessing.
You were sitting here.
I was just sitting here. And then Swami called my name. And most of the students didn't know that I used to play mandolin. And most of them clapped. And Swami said, go and play mandolin. So I came back to my place. I started playing the mandolin. I'm amateur. I'm not a professional mandolin player. I just learned the rudiments of music from one of my students just for a few days. And I picked up. And even today, I cannot play a song, but I specialized in Amrita Varshini. I should call it amateur specialization. So I used to play in my room every day after bhajans. Okay. Being in teacher's room, I never used to allow any of the boys to come inside during that period.
Okay.
And I used to daily
just
practice.
Your time with Swami.
Yes, daily I used to practice.
Hmm.
And Swami played talam for 5 minutes. That's a heavenly experience.
As you were playing that mandolin,
yes,
Swami
was playing talam. And slowly Swami increased the tempo. Swami knew I used to play very fast. And Swami also increased the tempo. I also played very fast. Being an amateur, I didn't know how exactly to stop.
Because Swami was playing.
Swami was playing. And fortunately, Swami signaled at the correct beat, I stopped.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I was so happy that I could do it properly. Because the Lord, with the perfection, who is the perfection himself, assisted me to stop at the correct beat. And then there was a thunderous applause. And Swami told Principal Anil Kumar, see how nicely a teacher plays.
Professor Anil Kumar told Swami, "Swami, I don't know, he plays mandolin. I never heard him even play once." Swami said, "I'm also listening for the first time."
Oh.
In Telugu, Swami said, "Nenu kuda first time vintunnanu." He paused physical ga.
Wow.
"I'm also listening for the first time."
Physically.
Physical.
He every passed. Time you were practicing in the room, he was
Swami
listening.
Listening.
He was there with you.
And it's such a heavenly experience it was. 20 years later, world class mandolin player U. Srinivas gave a concert in Sai Ramesh Hall, and the same day when I played 20 years earlier in
same
the
day.
Divine Presence.
Oh wow.
And it was such a nice experience for me. After the program, U. Srinivas came to the hostel. And I related this experience. In fact, I showed him the video recording of
that session.
That session.
Oh, wow.
And he was so happy. He said, "You're so fortunate that Swami played Talam when you played the mandolin." I said, "I'm an immature. I hardly know any music. But you're a world-class player." He said, "Your good fortune is really very great. Even people like us who are just amateurs, the Lord of the universe bestows His grace on us. Here we have world-class musicians waiting to perform in His divine presence."
Wow. I mean, you got the chance what even world-class musicians do not get so easily. And that happened because of this beautiful home of Trai Vrindavan. So that is how glorious Trai Vrindavan is. And that is how precious every moment that every student has spent with Bhagwan in Trai Vrindavan is.
So that was Dr. Sundareshan from the Vrindavan campus. Trai sessions have been those sessions where so many beautiful talents have been honed by Bhagwan. So many boys who didn't know that they can sing started singing after Bhagwan prodded them, Bhagwan encouraged them, Bhagwan asked them, blessed them to sing, to play, to dance. In fact, during the summer vacation of May 2000, there was a music program which was part of the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality. And because of the vagaries of weather during that time, some of the lead singers had their voices not in the best shape. And the music program was just one or two days away, and many singers were worried about how they are going to perform because their voices were definitely not in any good shape to perform in front of a large audience. Swami suddenly calls the boys for an interview, and the singers told Swami, "Swami, voices are not fine, Swami." In pitiful moans and groans, they tried to communicate. It is so difficult for them. And Swami immediately, the doctor of doctors, he produced out of thin air a number of tablets. It was not vibhuti, it was tablets. And Swami said, "Take one after your breakfast, take one after lunch, and one before the program." And Swami said, "And then just clear your throat. Just clear your throat and your voice will be as clear as crystal," Swami said. All these music boys, in awe, in amazement, took those tablets. And needless to say, of course, the program went on very well. In fact, it reminds one of how, as a little one, Bhagwan used to cook hot pepper rasam as a child, and used to give the aiding village folk who thronged to receive the divine elixir from his hands. In fact, the Trai session has seen so many such moments. In fact, once there was a devotee who had an eye problem. His eyes were red with infection. Swami immediately created a vial of eye drops for that devotee. And in fact, not only that, as you saw Bhagwan do that, you also noticed that there was a distinct shade of red in Bhagwan's eye. Even as Bhagwan assured that devotee that he will cure him, he immediately took over that redness into himself. His lotus eyes had become red. But he never said anything. He never communicated anything. If you were close to him, you could notice it. He was, as always, beaming with bliss, beaming with bliss. Because bliss is always when you do something for others, isn't it? Selflessness is the highest bliss that we can experience, and that is what you saw in Bhagwan. And when you lived with him, saw him at such close quarters, you can only be all the time, be in utter amazement and utter delight and in utter humility, surrender to the magnanimity of his heart, surrender to what his love continues to do every single day. In fact, before the examinations, Bhagwan would bless the students profusely. In fact, once during 1986, Swami was again in Vrindavan during the end semester examinations were about to commence, and on the day of the first examination, all the students went into Terai Vrindavan early for darshan and blessings. They had no idea what is going to unfold that day. All the students were asked to be seated in two rows for darshan. Swami came and Swami asked the principal of the college, "What happened? Why have the boys have come?" And Swami, he said, "Swami, they're all praying for your blessings." And Swami was so happy. He came amidst the students, gave detailed instructions how they should write the examinations. And then Swami walked between the rows of students so that each one could take Pada Namaskaram. And as he reached the end of the row, he asked the students to take out the pens that they were going to use for writing the examinations. And Swami walked back again into the rows of the students and blessed every pen of each student. That is the extent to which Bhagwan went and continues to walk for us. That is the glory of being with Bhagwan in Vrindavan, living with love in Vrindavan. There is no equal incident, equal emotion, equal English usage. English is too short to experience what it is to be with Bhagwan, what it is to be with the Divine, live in His physical proximity. Let me take you back to the Vrindavan of the 70s, how it was to have his darshan. I had the chance to talk to Subramanyam, sir, someone again who came to Bhagwan in the 70s and continues to teach. He's part of the Department of Maths and Computer Science. You will listen to what it was to have Bhagwan's darshan in those days, or whenever we have had the chance of that privilege.
Let me tell you a story. Can see the Vrindavan gate?
Yes.
The silver gate? Right outside that, a person was standing, waiting for someone apparently. A Westerner comes from the darshan ground, approaches him and asks him, "Sir, can you speak English?"
Okay.
That person to whom he addressed turns out to be the principal of this college and a professor in English.
Okay.
Of Vrindavan College.
Okay.
So he smiled and said, "Yes, I do."
Yes.
The other person said, the foreigner said, "The voice inside me told me that I should speak to you."
Okay.
"That's why I came to you." Then this professor, D. Narendra, he says, "Oh, you must be the person Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba said that you'll come to meet me."
Oh, wow.
He said, "You're the lecturer who will come to meet me." Frank Baranowski was frankly taken aback.
So it was Frank Baranowski.
Who was Frank Baranowski? He said, "How did this man, Baba, knew that I am a lecturer and I have given more than 9th hour lectures? How did he know?"
Uh-huh.
Oh, there must be something. And that's how the story of the aura begins.
Okay.
Let me continue with the story. He introduces himself as a person, a scientist, who has studied auras. He was gifted with this ability to see auras of every human being, even as a baby.
Uh-huh.
Which people around could not understand. They thought it's some witchcraft, or he was possessed or something. So he learned to keep quiet. But after he grew up, he studied, he understood what it was. He started studying this aura in great detail. He is credited with inventing a camera called Kirillian camera, which can take photographs of auras, human auras. So to cut a long story short, he found that the aura is nothing but light surrounding a human being, a contour of light.
Yes.
That reflects a mental attitude of a person and also indicates a health of that person. The aura contains a variety of colors. Red indicates anger, which is predominant in many people. A good colors, blue, indicates deep spirituality.
Wow.
And pink, which is rare, that indicates love. Mm-hmm. Not just ordinary love, selfless love.
Pure love.
Selfless. A person with pink aura is capable of pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And also another two colors, which he mentions, as he was explaining like that, he was told, Baba sent word, that he should address the students in the evening, talk to the students. So in the evening, there was bhajan in this Kalyan Mandapam. There all the students and teachers were seated. Swami asked Frank Baranowski to speak. So he told all this story and he continued. He said, apart from these two colors, pink and blue, which he found in Baba at a level which he has not found in any human being, 40, 50 feet thick away from Baba, this pink color. He says, I have gone round the world. I have visited presidents. I have visited great political leaders, great spiritual leaders. I have visited the Pope.
Hmm.
So many people I have seen. Never I have seen pink or blue at such...
At cross. That big a dimension.
At that dimension. That
the way it was spreading to great lengths.
Going. And not only that, in the case of Baba, there is something unique.
Uh-huh.
For any other person, the aura is something fixed. You have an aura of some maybe 2 inches thick or 1 foot thick.
Uh-huh.
You live with that. That might slightly vary according to your mental condition or health condition. In the case of Baba, the aura bounces along with him as he walks.
Oh, wow.
It expands and shrinks.
Uh-huh. Like when Bhagwan is moving, it's like a mass of pure love energy that is moving.
Moving with him. And when he comes for darshan, when he moves around the people, this aura reaches out and goes and envelops each and every one's aura. Not only that, the aura which has various colors, they're all transformed into an aura of pink.
Oh, everyone is enveloped in that?
Yes. He envelops everyone with his pure love.
Wow.
That is what darshan means.
Wow.
That's the impact of darshan. Or maybe, as I understand, when Baba says, darshan time, when you have darshan, you receive my grace. Probably receiving his grace is receiving that love in that form. So let me continue with the talk which he was telling. He said there are two other colors which he rarely found, only in extremely great people, and that is gold and silver.
Wow.
In the case of Baba, he says they were few feet thick.
Few feet thick, feet gold thick. And silver.
Gold and silver, few feet thick.
Wow.
He said he is not an ordinary human being. And then he sits down. Then bhajans start. Boys start singing bhajans. And when bhajans go on, they continue till Swami stops the bhajan. Swami stops the bhajan and then we have aarti. Here we have a person who has just come first. Suddenly gets up in the middle of the bhajan, goes to Swami. Seated there and tells something to Swami.
Hmm.
Swami says, stop the bhajan. Tells the boss, stop the bhajan. And he gets up to speak. He says, I took Baba's permission to interrupt this. I wanted to tell you that as this bhajan is going on, Baba's aura is expanding, enveloping each and every one with that love.
Wow.
In fact, I think he made this momentous statement. First time I think we have heard that. Baba is love walking on 2 feet.
On 2 feet.
Love walking on 2 feet.
Wow.
He was so overwhelmed.
Amazing.
He has also created a device, a pendulum, a metal ball hanging by a thread, which he holds. He went around the students. Swami asked him to interact with the students. So he went around to the students. This pendulum can measure the aura of a person.
Oh, wow.
By swinging away from the person.
Uh-huh.
He says, when he shared with us outside afterwards, that he stood in darshan in Prashantalayam. Swami was giving darshan. He stood near the East Prashanti where the students stay, East Prashanti, quite far away.
Yes.
He said, I held it, the pendulum swung somewhere, just went off.
Amazing.
That is Baba's
amazing
power. He was just personification of love.
I mean,
love.
You have experienced those Vrindavan darshans, but you know, to hear from someone like Frank Baranowski, who can see actually what is happening scientifically, was so amazing. And sir, I have heard about the Vrindavan darshans, about the beautiful Nagar Sankirtan darshans, because they say that was something very, very special about the old bungalow. Apparently, it was somewhere here, right? I mean, the old bungalow was standing the very place where we are now, where Trai Vrindavans currently stands. And we hear that Bhagwan used to come early in the morning and give darshans.
Yes. I still remember those days. Whenever Swami used to be in Vrindavan, we used to have Nagar Sankirtan on Thursdays and Sundays. In fact, the students and teachers will go outside. Devotees also, separately. Okay. Students separately will go outside for Nagar Sankirtan to Kadagudi or sometimes towards the other side, go to a nearby village, come back. The reward for that used to be the darshan. As we enter the gate, often we'll find Swami waiting. There used to be a balcony here.
In the old bungalow.
Balcony. Mm. Just below the balcony, there was a door which led to the interview room in those days. Now we see that bridge and the moat here. That was the interview room there. And above that, in the open terrace, Swami used to come, climb a few steps so that it will be visible to everybody. From the open terrace, he used to give darshan. And that was something memorable and really treasurable. In the early morning, you can visualize.
Yes.
Semi-dark and no lights, and Swami in the glorious
in that aura,
red robe.
Yes.
And so those who were gifted could see that aura around him, flood of light around him. In fact, Baranowski, when he first saw the aura in darshan, he looked around to check whether any halogen light has been put displayed on him.
Okay.
It was that very bright.
Wow.
So that was the beauty of it. I remember my mother used to come after the Nagar Sankirtan darshan. Hey, did you see that aura, flood of light? Did you notice so much?
Oh, wow. The people who were blessed had those visions.
This was much before the discovery of Baranowski or the invention of Kirlian photography. There were devotees who were gifted who could
gifted
see that aura.
See.
Now, I was speaking about Narendra, the principal, who met him.
Yes.
I have an interesting story to tell about
Please.
Him.
Yeah.
Maybe the first story addressed partly the question that you asked me.
Yes.
About
darshan.
The value or the importance of darshan. Now let me present the value of darshan or the meaning of darshan in a different manner.
Sure.
Professor Narendra experience. He had just come to Vrindavan first time. He has been a devotee. So he came for darshan. And luckily for him, it was Nagar Sankirtan darshan.
Oh, his first darshan.
First darshan. Nagar Sankirtan darshan in Vrindavan.
Amazing.
Any devotee who was very eager to have darshan had only one goal, to be as close to Swami as possible.
Yes.
So rush forward, catch the first row, be in the first row. So he also thought, by being in the first row of this Nagar Sankirtan, actually bhajan singers used to be there. He somehow squeezed through them.
Okay.
He thought he could be right in the front and have Swami's darshan.
See Swami as close as he can.
So he entered the Nagar Sankirtan party, entered from here, was right in the front, excited about having darshan. Swami had just come out. He came, but to his horror he found, as more and more people from behind, they kept pushing. They also wanted to come in.
Oh, okay.
As they kept pushing, he got pushed and pushed.
Uh-huh.
He was right under the sunshade, under the balcony.
Oh.
Under the balcony.
Oh my God.
Totally hidden from sight.
So when he looks up, there is only the sunshade.
He was facing the wall. Suddenly he was facing the wall.
Oh my God.
So he did a wise thing. He wrote an article in a college souvenir. The title of that one is very aptly called Mirrored in a Million Eyes.
Mirrored in a Million,
million
eyes.
Eyes.
Oh wow.
So he writes there after quoting this, after writing this, he says, I just quietly turned around. I could not see Baba directly, but I see Baba reflected in those thousand eyes before me, hundreds of eyes. Eyes filled with desire, filled with anticipation, worries. And there I could see Baba. These eyes were filled with him and they changed.
Wow.
I think we can say that having darshan is not merely we seeing with our physical eyes.
Yes.
We used to see Bhagwan in the eyes of others. That is seeing Bhagwan in others. Probably that is also darshan.
That is what is darshan. In fact, two thoughts come to mind. One is, yes, that is what is true darshan. I mean, to always see in every eye, sai. I think that is what is darshan. And Professor Narendra also, such a beautiful soul. First time he is coming to
Vrindavan.
And he is turning and looking at every eye. And he is so happy that he was able to see Swami in every being.
His first darshan was through thousand eyes.
And apart from Bhagwan giving him that vision and that insight, I think that was also a moment when Bhagwan gave such a beautiful soul to Vrindavan, who served Vrindavan for so many years. Thank you so much, sir. It's really lovely going back to the darshan. I think every time we look at any Vrindavan darshan picture, we can only think about these moments and fill ourselves with bliss about what he has given us and continues to give us. Yes, thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Mr. Subramanyam. Subramanyam sir, as he's fondly called, taking us back to the glory of the Vrindavan darshans. People talk about the darshans in Dharmakshetra early morning. Swami used to give whenever Swami used to be in Mumbai. That kind of early morning darshan Swami used to grant in the 70s in Vrindavan. Of course, with time, you got more and more attached to those darshans. You long to be with him. But at the same time, he was trying to ensure that you get attached to not the form but to the principle. You get attached not to Sai who is in Thrai, but Sai who is S-A-I, see always inside. In fact, once in 1994, Swami did not call the boys for Thrai sessions. He had just come to Vrindavan and first day he did not call. The boys thought maybe Swami is busy, he just come. Second day, they were hoping they will be called. It didn't happen. The same thing continued on the third day, and now the boys started getting worried. What happened? Why is Swami not calling us inside? On the fourth day, finally, when Bhagwan called, as he took the jhula, the first thing Swami said is, "Do you know why I did not call you?" This is way back in 1994. Swami is saying, "Do you know why I did not call you? Because slowly and slowly, I want you to feel Swami within. I want you to feel Swami within." This is the preparation that Swami was doing with every soul who has come in contact. Even as you experience the beauty, the nectar, the joy of being with the form, that is only a medium for us to connect with him wherever we are, to see his form, whomever we see, to see his beauty wherever we cast our eyes in this creation. In a letter that Swami wrote to the Vrindavan boys many years ago, Swami said, "He who has got Sai's name on his lips is a Jivan Mukta, is a liberated soul, because continuous remembrance of Sai eliminates the ego sense and grants him the realization of his immortal, changeless self. Name is a link between the devotee and Sai," Swami says. "It brings the devotee face to face with Sai and enables him to attain the knowledge of his oneness with him, oneness with Sai." So this beautiful name, Sai, that Bhagwan has granted to us, Swami says, Sai is Hridayasthai. He is all the time there in the beautiful throne of our hearts. And even as we listen to every story of Bhagwan's glory in Vrindavan, let us constantly see how this experience will enable us to internalize Sai, how this will enable us to see Sai in every eye, how this experience will fill us with bliss, whether we listen to stories of Vrindavan, whether we listen to stories of Mathura, whether we listen to stories of Puttaparthi, whether we listen to stories of Ayodhya, whether we listen to stories of Dwarka, or whether we listen to stories of anything, we should only see Sai, Sai, Sai. So dear listeners, so happy that we've been able to offer over 25 episodes of this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. And this weekend, June 8th, 9th, 2019, we are going to have the grand celebration of the Golden Jubilee of the Vrindavan campus. The Vice President of India, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu, will be presiding over this function. We will bring you updates of this function. We are going to live stream this event on our website. So wherever you are, log on to radiosai.org on the morning of June 9th, Sunday, India time, 9 a.m. and you can watch the Golden Jubilee celebrations of this landmark event. If you have any queries or comments, or if you have any Vrindavan stories to share, please feel free. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, or you can send us your comments, your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Grateful pranams at his lotus feet for this lovely opportunity to share with you the bliss of Vrindavan. Thank you so much. Sairam.